Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. You think A1 steak sauce is taking a hit?
People, I ain't buying that AI steak sauce, man. What, made by people?
Speaking of food, we brought it up on yesterday's show, but in case you have not heard, 6 Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles will be racing against each other this Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This and a run-up to the Indianapolis 500. Now, if you are a normal person, there's no particular Wienermobile that you're pulling for. Or is there? You see, we find out today that according to Oscar Mayer, each Wienermobile will represent a regional hot dog. 6 regions across the U.S., and just so you know, the Seattle Dog Wienermobile will represent the Northwest. That is correct.
And let's go.
That is all it took for me to care. Like, it was a passing interest thing. Like, oh, it's cool, the racing. Now I realize the Seattle Dog specifically is in this bad boy representing the Northwest. I'm in.
I looked up flights last night.
Did you?
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
All right, man. You got a screen. It's the Seattle Dog specifically, the entire Northwest. We'll cover the other 5 hot dogs coming up, but let's face it, man. That is our dog in this particular fight. Now, you may or may not like Seattle Dogs, but they are uniquely ours. And that's the thing about food. Whether you like a food or not, food very strongly linked to memory. Scientists even say that food can trigger vivid memories, take us back to specific childhood memories. And that's kind of what leads to today's question, right? So different foods definitely bring up different memories. But today, our question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is good or bad? What food reminds you of home?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@KISW.com. Oh, Michelle's, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,323. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, I don't know how you do it. Every week you find people doing messed up stuff in the news.
It's hard to do.
You bring us 3 stories. It's up to us to determine out of the 3 which story sucks the least. What is the theme of this week's Who Sucks Less?
Lawsuits.
Lawsuits.
Somebody suing somebody for something, which in this country, you can sue anybody for anything. You will not necessarily win your case, but these lawsuits have certainly been put out there.
Don't know if I've only been in 1 lawsuit in my life.
You personally?
Yeah, well, I had to sue a guy when I was 18 years old. He would not give our security deposit back. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the place.
How much was your security deposit?
$400.
Oh, yeah.
It's $400. And we took him to court.
And how much did it cost you to go to court?
None.
Really?
My stepfather represented us at the trial.
Oh, nice. Did you win?
We won the $400.
And how many people did you split that up?
We split that among 4 people.
Okay, so yes.
So we just got $100. Hey, man.
To be young.
Party is on $100.
Hell yeah.
I mean, the court case itself took every bit of 10 minutes.
Now, did you, do they tax that? So not, did you get like $87 or did you
No, we get the full $400 because that's what we gave him. That's what we got. Yeah.
Since
that point in time.
You taught him.
That was my only lawsuit so far.
Only lawsuit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been.
Right, I'm just trying to think. Like, class action, maybe I signed up for some crap. Because
who knows? I don't even know, man.
Sold my identity or something, got a check for 20 cents.
No, I've never been involved in a lawsuit.
No.
Either you guys been involved in a lawsuit?
No, sir.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you were the one suing or you were getting sued, like,
right.
I've never been in that world.
No, me neither.
I have no idea.
I'd like to keep it that way.
I like to sue the IRS,
right.
Get some of my money back. Other than that, I don't think that's going to happen. Who Sucks Less coming up at 4:30. Today, on our question, we are talking food. And when we talk food, there's a lot of different factors into food, obviously. Everything from the regional aspect of where you grew up, your family, your ethnicity, what is popular in your general home.
Were they good cooks?
The food that your mother made compared to the food that your dad would make compared to the food that your grandparents made. Whether it was good or bad, it is just, it's a food that reminds you of home. It is a taste of home. It's something that maybe was not, obviously, when you're growing up, it's not unique to you. It's just one of those things that you eat. But as you get older, you realize that not everybody had the same delicacies or ate the same things that you did growing up.
Or cooked the same way. I've covered this in depth. My mother was not a great cook. She openly admits that. She can hook up some breakfast food. Like, her scrambled eggs are lovely. But otherwise, dinner was terrible. So the nice thing about it is very rarely do I eat food and think, This reminds me.
Because, unless you mess something up.
Because of being salty. Right. It would be more like this. Oh, God, this reminds me.
Sure.
Right? But there's no positive thing where I'm eating a meal and go, man, just like my mother used to make. Because that's, I don't want that.
And it's very individual. So it just depends on what people make. And there's a lot of people who, you know, let's take Italians, for example. I grew up in an Italian home because my stepfather is Italian. And they love to cook. And that's family right there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get together. Food is first. And then everything else, that's a secondary aspect of it. Now, I grew up on this food. And I know 9 million dishes. I have never heard anyone praise manicotti like your relative or the friend of your family.
Oh, yeah, man.
Because
that manicotti was legendary.
What I'm saying is, they didn't make manicotti that was that great or that good.
It was just manicotti.
It was just manicotti, but it wasn't like on that level. Now, they lasagna.
But wait, is it because
stuffed
you
peppers,
always
yes.
ate I mean,
her name was
food?
Rita Lucian.
Right.
Right.
But they didn't do manicotti. They didn't do it. They would do stuffed peppers. Or like, peppers and me were not friends growing up.
I did not like stuffed peppers.
But they would do it with sausage and rice, and then it was, basically sauce on top of that. Then it was baked. Sometimes they put layers of cheese on there. You think that sounds awful? I look forward to stuffed pepper night.
Stuffed peppers as an adult, you're right, are great.
As a kid,
I don't know what you're just like, why isn't it a vegetable?
That's the thing. I would scoop everything out. Like, I mean, the guts are great. Why did you put it in a pepper?
You talked about manicotti so much. There was one day where I was going to make like a dish. So I looked at manicotti. And I was like, you know what? I know for a fact, I'm not even sure I had this growing up. And I can make it based on this recipe. I don't know if it's going to be any good or not. But it's just not something that I grew up with. So, you know, we've all got our different things that are just, you know, like clams. I grew up on clams because my stepfather made clam pasta all the time. He loved it. It was one of his favorite meals.
If we had pasta, it was spaghetti. It was a jarred sauce. And look, there's nothing wrong with all that. That's most people. But Italian food for me, at least growing up, it was either spaghetti, you know, with ragu, or Mama Celeste frozen pizza. Now, and I understood that Italian food existed, and it looked really good. Every once in a while, to be fair, maybe once every 4 years, my mother would hook up a lasagna, and that, to me, to this day, one of my favorite foods. So she could do that, but
I'm with you. My mom, very rarely. But once in a while, she would make a lasagna.
And I get it's time-consuming
that's that's the thing
but
about
But it was
lasagna,
so good.
Man.
But it's the one time my mother could make a meal, and you didn't have to tell me to finish the
because
food on my
plate.
Because
you need to specially do the sauce with a ground beef in there or whatever you're putting in there first. So you're making the sauce. The noodles take time.
The process of
building it takes time. Then you got to bake it. That takes time. It's a two-hour game.
Easy. Yeah, like, I mean, we're Irish Catholics. So, like, corned beef and cabbage was a big one.
Sure.
But for some reason, my family, maybe just because we live with so many Italian Catholics, like, my aunt makes baked ziti, and it is at everything.
Is it good?
It is. It's actually, she
it's
makes...
It's not dry.
She makes... No.
Okay. Well, you can really try that stuff out. What?
No. Her baked ziti is very good.
Okay. Sometimes you go when you bake pasta.
But to this day, because everybody asks, like some of my friends are like, what is with you, the Smiths? And I go, I don't know. I don't know why she started making it, but if there was a group of us together... I mean, you know, it's generally, like I said, sometimes a meat and potato thing. But then there's always a dish of baked ziti.
You know why? Okay. That means she nailed it one time and everyone said, look, if the Smiths get together a lot, like, look, when we get together, just bring the baked ziti. I guarantee. They said, look, it's knockout. We like it. The only thing my mother made, and I still did not like these, but pork chops, man. We had pork chops a lot.
Oh, but she's shake and bake.
But they were sometimes.
See,
we
I like
shake and bake.
I grew up on that.
I grew up on shake and bake pork
with macaroni and cheese and applesauce.
But we didn't do the shake and bake often. So usually it was just a pork chop. And so in my mind, I did not like pork chops. Fast forward, I start cooking in restaurants. We had pork chops on the menu, and I'm just like, oh, God, pork chops. So everyone's giving me this look. Like, dude, you don't like pork chops? And keep in mind, you don't realize whether or not your parents are good or bad cooks. You just know what you know. So I'm like, I do not like pork chops. They couldn't believe it. And then I tried a pork chop, as most people have tried a pork chop. And I'm like, this is tremendous.
Awesome.
And they're like, what were your pork chops like growing up? I'm like,
thin,
super
dry,
thin,
dry.
You could brush your teeth with these pork chops,
just like,
man.
You could hear the knife in the plate cutting.
Like, it was like cutting through styrofoam. Like,
Did you ever have ham steaks?
No.
So that was a big one for us, too. Like, you get that can of, like, little white potatoes.
Yes.
Sometimes they were whole and small. Sometimes they were pre-sliced. I like the sliced ones. But, I mean, that was a common dinner. My mom would just fry up a ham steak and cook those potatoes.
I'll put those little potatoes in my stew.
Do you really?
They're money.
That's a good call.
Yeah, they really are.
That's a good call.
I'll tell you this. 99% of the time, Italian food is awesome. But we're saying good and bad.
But. Right? What was the meal, Italian or not, where you're like, oh, no, not this.
What
like
the
eggplant,
hell?
Eggplant, Parmesan?
What do you call it, Ted, on the Friday before Christmas where you eat only fish?
Before Christmas?
Well, it's the meal of seven fishes or something like that. It's a
specific thing. I don't know it because we weren't Italian, but I know Italians that did it.
I mean, you could walk in the house, and trust me, in West Virginia, one thing that is not fresh.
Oh, no, the fish head soup.
Is fish. So fish head soup.
Oh, God.
Calamari, which you have to remember. You know,
did they fry it at least?
How
did they prepare the calamari?
You know, when you get the calamari that's not breaded and you go, I should have got this.
It's like eating a balloon.
You're just eating the rubbers and you're like, I just wanted to fried calamari.
Yes.
Okay, that was the kind of calamari. You also have to remember when you get calamari, this is no lie, it's no different than the boxes that you use for bait when you go fishing.
That's the same thing.
With squid. It's the same. They're bait boxes.
It is exactly the same thing.
And they would drive to Baltimore and they would pick up all the fish that they needed to
get. Did they go to like a fish and tackle place, or did they actually go to a restaurant purveyor?
It's the same thing. If you go and you get it as bait, right, it's half the cost,
right,
is if you go to a seafood restaurant. It's the same purveyor, it's the same box.
Oh yeah,
it's the same everything. But once you start cleaning this stuff and once you start to thaw, letting it thaw, the smell permeates everything,
and
it's not a good smell at all. And just there was, when I'm looking for spaghetti and meatballs, I'm looking for they would do like pork in the sauce and, you know, beef, you know, shanks, stuff like that. None of that was in the sauce. It was just the sauce, which was not the way my grandmother ever made it, except for one day a year. And it was the worst because I always looked forward to it. And it was just It just, everything sucked.
And you're not kidding about calamari, man. I never dealt with it until I got into restaurants. And I realized that it was the same as the bait. Because one of my co-cooks was also someone who liked to fish. So when we get the calamari in, he just kind of chuckles, no big deal. I'm like, what's so funny? And he kind of explained, dude, I buy this exact same brand when I go fishing. I'm like, yeah, I found it. Like, dude, it's just dead squid.
Dump it all out, start cutting it up on the board,
Kidding about the stink, right? Because the one thing I did not realize is that the tube from the calamari, when you get fried calamari, you get those little rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been cut off of a bigger tube. They fry up. They look like dried belly buttons, all right? So,
but there's a cartilage in there. There's all these
things. And the cartilage, it's crazy, man. It is completely see-through. It looks like a piece of plastic. That's their spine or whatever you want to call it.
Think of like the thing that runs down the middle of a chicken breast.
Yeah, but make it clear. You can literally hold it up to your eye and see through it. But you don't also realize it's also their stomach. So when they said, hey, man, you got to wash out the tubes of the calamari. Like, cool. So usually it's just sand and stuff. You get the occasional fish head. But the one that threw me off was a jellyfish. But if you don't know it's a jellyfish, it looks like someone did a... right? So, like, right, this gelatinous glob lands in my palm, and I walked very calmly over to the chef, and I said, hey, man, this popped out of the calamari. I'm keeping a professional cool, but I do not know what it is that's in my hand. He's like, yeah, it's a jellyfish, dumbass, relax. And then you kind of look forward to finding the jellyfish, but... Put it this way, squid are not sexy. That is what I discovered when working.
And they stink. Now, you brought up the hot dog situation yesterday, Ted, with the Indy 500. And Sunday at Indy, it's the Indianapolis 500. They have festivities all week leading up to the race. And this year, they're going to feature the Weenie 500.
Carb Day, Friday.
And it's all six Wienermobiles. And as you said, this is the first time, Ted, that all have gathered in one place in over a decade.
It's a hot dog. It's a Wienermobile mecca.
Yes. This race will actually happen this Friday. It happens for us at
11. I think it's 2:30 there, 11:30 here.
Okay.
So it's 11.
Not that I've looked it up.
It streams on Fox Sports' app and on IndyCar on Fox. Okay, either way. They'll also include custom hot dogger racing suits and a finish line celebration in a wiener circle. There will be a condiment spray for the champion, which sounds interesting.
Yeah. Instead of milk. Yes. He's gonna put like mustard and ketchup.
Right, correct.
I'd hit him with relish.
No, this all sounds interesting and fun until we get the breakdown today.
Yeah.
Which is that every Wienermobile will represent a distinct regional hot dog. Okay? So here's how it breaks down. If you are from the Midwest, you are represented by the Chicago-style hot dog.
All right, that's fair.
An all-beef Frankfurter on a poppy seed bun originating from Chicago, topped with yellow mustard, chopped white onions, bright green sweet pickle relish, a dill pickle spear, tomato slices or wedges, pickled sport peppers, and a dash of celery salt. Because of all this crap on here, the Chicago hot dog is said to be dragged through the garden.
Okay.
Due to the many toppings, all right? So if you like a Chicago-style dog, they're fine. They're not my favorite, but they're very unique. Now, as far as the East Coast, you are represented by the New York Dog, or the New York-style hot dog. That is a natural-cased, all-beef frank, beef only, topped with sauerkraut, spicy brown mustard, mm-hmm. onions are optional, invented and popularized in New York City. Now, you might be thinking, hey, man, a Coney dog, isn't that New York? No, that's Detroit, is actually really? The home of the Coney dog. Then you have, representing the Southeast, you have the Slaw Dog, which was first originated in West Virginia in the early 1920s mm-hmm. and became popular in that region because of the Great Depression. In the years when hot dogs and cabbage were the most affordable things for struggling families.
Still is.
They only boil the hot dog in a warmed bun topped with yellow mustard and creamy coleslaw. So it was based on poverty.
Sure.
Is why that.
Most good food based on poverty.
Yeah. Then you have the...
Right, and remember, the guy that started Nathan's, they just serve hot dogs for the staff. And he's like, I'm going to try to just sell them.
Mm-hmm. And people bought them because they were cheap.
Then you have the Sonoran hot dog. Now, that represents Ooh. The Southwest.
Oh, right.
Hot dog originated in the Mexican state of Sonora in the late 1980s. Very popular in Tucson, Phoenix, everywhere in southern, the Southwest, Arizona. That's a hot dog that's wrapped in bacon, grilled, served on a bolillo-style hot dog bun.
Sure.
Topped with pinto beans, onions, tomatoes, and a variety of additional condiments. Mayonnaise, mustard, jalapeno salsa. Representing the South, straight chili dog. Yep. That is a hot dog served in a bun, topped with a meat sauce, typically a chili con carne. Additional toppings may include cheese, onions, and mustard. The Texas chili dog reference means that the chili on a chili dog never contains beans.
Uh-huh, okay.
So that's the reason for that. And finally, representing the Northwest, the Seattle-style hot dog. This is an interesting story. Invented in 1989 in Pioneer Square by Hadley Long, who was a vegetarian food vendor from Ohio.
Huh.
And he operated a bagel cart on the sidewalk between the Central Saloon and the J&M Cafe.
Okay.
Right? Started right there. Now, Long originally served only vegetarian bagels and toppings from his cart.
That but didn't work.
The drunk late-night crowd started demanding meat. So, he added hot dogs to his existing bagel and cream cheese cart. Now, basically what he did was he got buns from the Bagel Deli on Capitol Hill. He toasted those and spread both sides with the cream cheese that he uh-huh. used with his bagel before adding a split grilled hot dog. Now, grilled onions are one of the most popular additions. Other toppings include jalapeno, other peppers, sauerkraut, grilled cabbage, scallions. Mustard is included if you want. Some people put barbecue sauce and sriracha. Ketchup is the one thing that is used the least.
Yes,
as
it should
be. On the Seattle-style hot dog.
It's a hot dog.
That's kind of the history of all those hot dogs, depending on where you live and what you've grown up with. So, obviously, we're rooting for the Seattle dog.
Let's go!
To win on a Friday. So our question, good or bad, what food reminds you of home? 206-803-ROCKS.
You're in the men's room.
Since we're talking about food all day, it's a good idea to remind you guys that it's a three-day weekend coming up. Pick up some men's room beer brats from Uli's Famous Sausage. Throw those bad boys on the grill. And then top it with men's room roasted red salsa from San Juan Salsa Company.
What should they wash it down with?
Oh, they would maybe a men's room IPA in a bright yellow can from Black Raven or a 20th anniversary lager. Help our three local Fisher houses over the three-day weekend.
And
quick pick up some great product there for us.
And if anyone finds a store that carries all three, please shoot us an email or a text.
We do. We know of one.
I know of one in West Seattle.
Thriftway, maybe? Does that sound right to you guys?
I think so.
I'm not sure.
Definitely West Seattle. They carry all three. Because I've been to stores where they carry like two out of three. It is the Thriftway in West Seattle. Excellent.
I know that Thriftway always has the sausage. Because I met a woman a few months ago who does not know the show, but just loves Uli's and loves the sausage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I was surprised this weekend. I did not realize that my wife had bought the men's room salsa. So I'm digging around the fridge. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use some salsa. Then I realized it was ours. And I'm like, oh, hey. And she's like, yeah, dude, I know a guy. I bought it. Yeah. So she got that at Central Market.
Okay. They have the sausage on the menu at Petoskey's in Fremont. Also, if you're flying out of town over the weekend, Brewtop Social, which is the bar up top in the main concourse, overlooks the runways and stuff. Get a great view up there. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they have the men's room IPA on draft. For every draft they sell, they're going to give $1 to our three local Fisher houses. Have two or three before you get on the plane. And they're going to bump that, throw that money our way, to our friends at the Fisher House. So get all that done, either if you're heading out of town or you're staying in.
Also did get an email from Antoinette over there with Uli's on where you can find the sausage just earlier today. If you're out in Greenwood, you can find it at Ken's Market, as well as the Queen Anne location.
Nice.
West Seattle Thriftway, sorry, as you guys said. Down in Tacoma, Central Coop Tacoma, which actually I used to live by that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Polesbow, check out Marina Market. Bremerton, Ralph's Red Apple. Beacon Hill, check out Hilltop Red Apple. Let's see here. Port Orchard. Colello's Farm Stand, I believe. Also out in Tacoma, you can also check out Tacoma Boys. They've got those. QFC, Hagen, PCC, they should all have it as well.
Nice. Okay. All right, there we go. So we're going to talk food, obviously, good or bad. What food reminds you of home? 206-803-ROCK.
Just one quick text here, because it brings back memories for me as well. This guy says, lima beans. That remind me of the house I grew up in Algona. Algona? Algona.
Algona.
Algona. My dad, he would serve them to us, and we could not leave the table until they were gone. All right, listen, my mother made lima beans that I recall once. I did not know what they were. I'm a kid. I'm like 8 or 9. So she puts them on my plate and just says, just try them. Right? And this went through the entire dinner. Entire family sitting down. I always remember this. We're in Rochester. We're at the dining room table. They just didn't look good to me. But I can't remember what the main course was. But I ate that. And there's still this pile of lima beans. And everyone at the table, they're not being mean about it. But they're like, come on, man. We know you don't eat a lot of vegetables or whatever. Just try it. And I'm looking at my mother and I'm like, I really don't think I'm going to like these. Finally, my dad jumps in, and he rarely did. He's like, Steven, just try a lima bean. You don't even need a mouthful. Just try a lima bean. Like, fine. So now everyone at the table's silent because it's a big deal. And I stick my fork in his thing. I put it in my mouth. I didn't like it. I swallowed it and immediately projectile vomited.
You did?
Immediately, man.
Does any kid ever eat something when you got to say, just try it, and they actually like it? If it's not chocolate.
I will say I've met one exception.
Like well, your son does that.
My son is the only exception as far as children go. And now he's old enough, and he just turned 13, so he knows that he actually likes most food, but you do have to convince him to try things. So the two I remember most, when he was like 5, he wanted to go to the since-closed the Brooklyn Steakhouse downtown, all right? He wanted to do a fancy dinner with my parents.
God, that place is great.
So we all had to dress up, which we did. It was just no particular occasion, just what he wanted to do with his grandparents. So we ordered him a steak. I got this big-ass lamb chop. Well, not thinking, when they brought the steak out, it was a little underdone for him. And his little kid sees all the blood, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, dude, well, try a piece of my lamb. We can switch. He demolished my lamb. I mean, there was just a bone left. You know, like he dropped this thing in acid, so we realized, okay, he likes lamb. Then we're at a restaurant, and they had goisa on the menu. And I got him for me, and he kept saying, that looks disgusting. I said, dude,
disgusting?
Yeah, he just, because to him, you know, it's a folded up pocket of dough with some weird meat in the middle. I said, dude, just try it. He finished my goisa, and then we had to order 2 more. And, I mean, he just takes it down, and now that's his go-to. So what's nice about him now, it doesn't matter where we go. You have a general bead on what it is he's going to like. And I'm like, dude, try it. He doesn't put up any fight. He tries it. And 99% of the time, he likes it.
See, lava bean or
lima bean?
Lima beans to me.
Ugh.
But growing up, they sucked.
They're terrible.
But what else do they call them? Like when you go to asado in
butter beans.
Butter beans. So I didn't know that was lima beans.
Or a Madagascar bean.
Really?
But, you know what, man? Yeah. I loved them down there. I was like, this does not
taste. Did they do something different to
them? I don't know. I could not believe that is the same product, because I remember it being absolutely horrible.
I mean, with
horrible.
That dish, the way they prepare them, it's just it kind of come, you know, it's like next to like kind of the sauce, so they're better. Look, I like lima beans.
Okay.
But I like all beans. But yeah, I know for years, right? But I was like, I hate them. I'm like, dude, you eat them at least like, five times a year when you're down there.
You had no idea.
No. So yeah, apparently I'm wrong.
They might be good.
Which is not new to me.
Maybe I'll retry them, but just my memory of it is horrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because you're right. It's not like I was different than any other kid. But I had one uncle that lived like in another state. He loved them. And I remember he served them up once. I was like, yeah, I like them. And then we had them at home a bunch.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, we used to eat some terrible stuff.
Should have invited you to my house. You could eat my lima beans.
Did you guys, were you guys part of the goulash generation?
I was aware of it. I had some friends whose parents made goulash. I never tried
so
it.
It's basically,
and the name is not a great
It's essentially dish. A macaroni noodle with ground beef and then a more vegetable-based tomato sauce. And it's all mixed together. And we used to have that all the time. Matter of fact, the macaroni noodle was central to a lot of the foods. If you had chili, That was over top of noodles.
Macaroni, yeah.
It was. And that might have been the area of West Virginia I grew up in, because Cincinnati chili did that with their pasta.
Yep.
Their chili was sweetened and on pasta.
I think it's the 70s, man.
He loves that, but he's from there. Now, if you're not from there, you either going to like this or you're going to hate it. Because
I still want to try it.
You either grew up with it, and it's a taste that reminds you of home that you
know. I don't
know.
Think it'd be awful now. I can kind of fight through the vegetables and the sauce thing. But again, as a kid, you think I'm bad now as a kid, you know, 100 times worse. But once I see, when I can visibly see the vegetables in your sauce, like, it was a no-go for
me. Well, that's onions, green peppers, typically red peppers.
As a child,
all the vegetables all the ones that I you can tolerate now.
Basically, if you serve the vegetables with fajitas, I'd probably eat them.
Good or bad, what food reminds you of home? 206-803-ROCK.
One quick text here. It says, my mom gave us lima beans all the time. We had to sit there till we ate everything. Well, there were large house plants around the table. I stuck my lima beans in the pots over the years. Good looking. That's one of the beauties of a dog. And I never had a dog growing up, but there were so many times. Because I'd see my buddies do it. You know, there's some crap that their parents made them eat. They didn't want to eat it. And I mean, the second their parents turned around, the dog got hooked up. Didn't matter what it was. And I just always thought, man, I really want a dog. Not because I want to take care of it. I just want to give it
it's
the
a good,
food
it's
I
a
don't
good,
want
It's
to
a good litmus test on stuff. Like,
if the dog won't eat
you're
it.
You're supposed to eat baby carrots, right? They're good for you, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
I used to have a bag. I'm going to sit there and snack on them every once in a while, just like, you know, trying to have a healthy snack tonight when I'm stoned. Give Miles a carrot. He wouldn't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Try to give one to Honey. She wouldn't eat it. The next dog, Chewy, try to give her a carrot. She wouldn't eat it.
And these dogs will eat everything.
They will eat. They are
same
insatiable.
With goats.
Insatiable.
They don't eat carrots?
Goats don't eat carrots.
Really?
Yeah.
I would just assume a goat would eat a carrot.
I tried to feed one to Terrence, and she was like, no, like, they don't, they eat everything.
But they don't
eat
carrots.
Not carrots.
Okay. Maybe I was a goat in former life. My dog, we have determined, now likes lettuce.
Well, no, because goats eat a lot of vegetables. They just don't eat carrots.
Then what was I? I had to be carnivorous. Probably like a hyena. I don't have the energy to go out and kill, but if you killed it, I'll gladly go over and tear myself off a bit.
Good or bad, what food reminds you of home? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm just admitting I'd be a lazy meat
eater.
You're
a scavenger.
Yeah. Like, man, I'm not going through all the trouble, but you went through the trouble. There's some left. I'm going to go over there. And granted, I got like 18 of my buddies with me, you know. We're all going to eat a little something.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing, right? The cheetah's cool, but it gets so exhausted. So that's why the hyenas, let the cheetah kill it and then go, all right, let's go get it.
Oh, are you tired from running?
Aren't we kind of scavengers? I've never hunted something besides a fish and ate it.
That's true. Someone else did the work.
It just shows up. I buy it and cook it.
Yeah, it's the hyena way, brother.
We are hyenas.
The hyena diet. That's my new lose weight on the hyena diet. Hello, Adrian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hola!
Hey, so yeah, well, before I say anything, I just want to say my mom is alive, healthy, and doing very well. Just putting that out there, Miles.
I didn't ask. But if you do ask, his mom's going to drop dead if you ask. He's just saying, I love my mom, so please don't, because she will drop dead the moment
much
you
ask. I've learned from Will Smith not to put things in my mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Come out of my mouth, you know?
But yeah, she can make pasta like nobody else. I mean,
like she makes pasta from scratch?
Spaghetti. From scratch.
Really?
Yes. I mean, and it is, it's amazing. Her culinary skills don't really, you know, they don't go out there much, but when it comes to Italian food, it is magnificent.
Now, when you were growing up, if your mom made, because again, when you're a kid, you only know what you know. Did you assume that everyone's mother or father was out there hooking up fresh pasta?
I sort of did. Until I went to, you know, my friend's house, and their mom made spaghetti, and I swear to God, she used ketchup.
Yeah, see, I don't like sweet sauce. That's one thing. Any kind of base with sweet and tomato sauce, I know right away, I'm not going to like it, because that's not what I grew up traditionally with. The only exception to that is the sauce they put on Detroit-style pizza, which is a little bit sweeter.
It's covered with a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, pizza sauce tends to be sweeter.
But your mother actually made these pastas from scratch. I mean, she had the pasta-making machine and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, she would go out to a place, because we're from Sacramento, and there was a fresh noodle, like, bakery, I guess you'd call it, that was down the street. So she would go get the noodles from them.
Okay.
So they were fresh noodles, then. She would make the sauce.
Yeah, they were fresh noodles.
Can you even stand the box noodles, if that's what you grew up with?
You know, I really can't. I used to go out there and try other spaghetti, and, you know, I end up just comparing it to hers, and now I just avoid it.
Okay.
So do you buy fresh pasta, or do you make fresh pasta, or do you avoid pasta if it's not fresh?
Oh, no. If I make it, I just get the box noodles.
Okay. Well, another thing with food, and especially with pasta growing up, that was a tradition where every Sunday after church, so it was an early dinner, you know, 1:30.
Why is Sunday the one day people will eat dinner?
We did the same thing. We didn't have pasta. It was always like a roast or whatever. But
it's ingrained.
It's like Thanksgiving.
Let me take this back. If it wasn't football season, then it was always an early Sunday. But if like the Commanders were playing at 4, we weren't sitting down to dinner.
But I will say this. It was like lunch at school. If we got pizza, which was our favorite, it was always on a Friday. It wasn't every Friday, but it was maybe every other Friday. Right. It was pizza day. You look forward to that day. And it was a certain day. And pasta was the same way. So even today, if I'm going to make pasta, I make it Sundays.
Really?
Because that's what I know. That's the day. So like I would look forward to Sundays going over there and having pasta because I loved it. And it was one of those things where, you know, you needed to clear your plate growing up. And I had no problem going back.
Pasta, you could do that.
I had no problem going back for seconds. I loved the taste of it. I loved everything about it. But if you were to say, like, hey, let's go out to Italian on a Wednesday night, I'd be like, no. We'll go on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's
we'll go early, you know?
That's kind of my weird thing with pizza. Like, as much as I like pizza, I don't like it for lunch.
Really?
Like, to me, same thing. We had it, I wouldn't say every Friday, but it was often. That was our thing, right? Like, when we were kids, like, we would go out, you go to Alario's, you go to Three Brothers, you get pizza or bring it home. And you, like, watch a movie. But, like, it's so ingrained. Like, again, I love pizza. But, like, when it's at lunch, I'm like, nah. To me, it's a dinner time food.
I can eat pizza anytime.
Well, I mean, I really will eat it.
Right, but you didn't buy it.
Correct.
Right. Someone comes in, do you want a slice? Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's just odd. You know what I mean? Like,
same with me with a hamburger. Hamburger's dinner for me. Hamburger and french fries. That's dinner.
Really?
Yes. Only.
To me, that's lunch or dinner.
Nah,
it's too much. It's too much.
All right, I'm with Miles. If it's at work, like you've never seen me eat a hamburger or pizza for lunch at work.
There's a hamburger place you can go. There's two of them.
I know. Yeah. People rave about it. But I'm with Miles. For some reason, during the week, a burger's in the evening. Now, if it's a Saturday or Sunday where I'm having a cookout, I have an afternoon burger for lunch.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, the burgers at the place you're talking about, pretty good.
Yeah.
They do a great job. And I will get one for lunch, get two for lunch. It's like, to me, pizza and hamburgers, I'm like, this is an anytime. Let me rephrase that. Pizza is an anytime meal because you eat it for breakfast, if it's from the night before, you name it. Burgers, lunch, and dinner. No breakfast.
See, to me,
I don't know anyone that eats a breakfast burger.
To me, pizza is...
Wait,
is...
Mike, you eat breakfast burgers, man?
No, you don't. No.
You can.
Wait. Now, that's a very...
That's a breakfast sandwich. I mean sausage.
That's
kind of where I'm drawing the line here. Look, I did put it on a bun. Yeah, it's a sausage instead of a hamburger patty. But it's
entirely different somehow.
To be honest though, I dated a girl. If we had gone out the night before and then been somewhere very early, well, to watch soccer because she was nice and would go with me, she would always get a burger for breakfast.
Really?
Yeah, she loved it.
And that's the Jack in the Box in you.
Yeah, it is.
Because they do that.
They do.
Well, what's the difference between having steak and eggs and having a burger?
Because you added eggs.
Oh, I put an egg on my burger.
Oh, yeah, Sunrise Burger.
Do you get steak and eggs?
Never.
I've gotten it in the last 2 or 3 years. I've got it 2 or 3 times. I'm like, this is crazy.
This is amazing. So you'll eat steak and eggs.
It seems so weird.
You can't have a burger.
It just seems, no, I'm talking about for breakfast even.
No, that's what I mean. But you wouldn't have a burger for breakfast.
God, no.
What if I put a fried egg?
The only thing that I will do other than a breakfast sandwich is a BLT for breakfast. That's the exception to the rule.
Because it's bacon.
Yeah.
But I still say that the Sunrise Burger with an egg on a burger.
Yeah.
That fits. That works.
The Royal Red.
Hell yeah.
So just add
there's a reason they're not open for breakfast.
They could be.
Serving that. Like McDonald's.
Yeah, well,
they don't serve you a hamburger until 10:30.
Because it's one burger.
Why do they have that rule?
Because it's one burger. Red Robin's got the one burger that can be
eaten
for breakfast.
Open then.
They're not going to open at that point because people want
because it's not a breakfast. Because it's not a breakfast.
They're not going to have a full-on breakfast menu. They got one burger that you can have for breakfast.
Yeah. And if you go to a lot of places that just said, hey...
if they serve burgers, like, do you mind? Like, that's what she would do. She would just say, do you mind? Like, a little hungover. I want some grease. And they'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll fire you up a burger.
Like a Juicy Lucy, too?
Right, you already got the grill going with bacon and eggs and sausage. It's not like the cook's going to be like, can't put meat on it. And it's just weird.
And I've had hamburger and eggs for breakfast. Granted, it's not the sandwich, but hamburger fits in the breakfast menu.
What's the Mexican one?
Where does hamburger fit in the breakfast menu?
There's a Mexican dish. That's a hamburger patty over eggs.
Yeah, you're right.
You've never had...
You talking about like a Loco Moco?
Kind of like
or Hawaiian.
That's Hawaiian, yeah. All right. I like Loco Moco.
Jesus.
Is that a breakfast food or is that a hangover food?
I don't know.
I think it's a brunchish food. I think it'll work out.
I've only had it for dinner.
You guys have never had hamburger Loco Moco?
No.
No.
You just grill up the... You just brown up the hamburger and you... Throw some scrambled eggs. It's great.
I've never seen it.
That was a regular staple in my house growing up.
This is why we're asking the question.
Right. That takes
this
you home.
This is exactly right. Because it's normal to you. It's not normal to
a little hot sauce
to
on
anybody
there?
Else.
Yeah.
Good or bad, what food reminds you of home? 206-803-ROCK.